Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Modis, and I'm your host, a Filipino-American, native New Yorker, currently based in Los Angeles, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you will hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and rural emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. I invite you to receive a dose of OT inspiration to learn, to think outside of the box, and to be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening. Before we begin this episode, I want to extend a special thanks to Picmonic, our sponsor. If you are an OT or OTA student looking for an excellent learning resource and study aid, Picmonic might be for you, whether you're studying for your classes or getting ready for the NBCOT exam. It is a visual mnemonic learning tool that has been research proven to increase retention and help students ace their exams. It uses audiovisual learning and intelligence-based repetition algorithms to help with long-term retention while studying. If you're interested in trying it for yourself, sign up today using the link in the show notes or using the code TRANSITIONSOT to score a discount of 20% off your Picmonic membership. Welcome back, OT friends. Today, I'd like to welcome to the podcast Carly Wiener and Emily A. They are both occupational therapists currently working in healthcare technology.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your favorite occupations.
My name is Carly. I'm 31. I moved from New Jersey to California, and I love tennis, you know, anything outdoors, trying to surf. I'm not really good at it. Those are some of my occupations, anything working out, hanging out with friends. I was excited to be on this podcast just to talk about what I've done untraditionally in the OT world and how I've been able to take my degree and do something creative with it. Yeah. What about you, Emily?
So my name is Emily, and I have a lot of favorite occupations. I enjoy hiking, cooking, not the cleaning part, but just the cooking part, hanging out with friends, traveling. And similar to Carly, you know, I'm just really grateful to be able to step into a non-traditional OT role. And I'd love to help others who are kind of looking to get out of that traditional OT path and just need a little bit of guidance.
Thank you so much to both of you for coming on. And that's precisely, you know, or at least one of the reasons why I invited you onto the podcast is so that you can paint a little picture of how you kind of got to where you are today, because there's so many OT practitioners out there who just really don't know what steps to take or what first step to take. So hopefully our conversation today will shed some light on that. So thank you again for taking the time to be here with us. This might be a great opportunity to have you kind of describe to us a little bit about your uncommon OT work.
Yeah, I work for Rosarium Health as Director of Clinical Partnerships. And Rosarium Health is a free platform that connects anyone who has a disability or wants to age in place with the OTs to do the assessment and contractors to do the work. And while I work for the company, not as an OT in the sense that I'm not the OT doing the assessment, I do, you know, work alongside Emily to partner with organizations where we feel they know people who would need modifications and help them become aware of our services and really grow that relationship so that we can make this a platform that actually helps people nationwide. With that being said, our platform does host, you know, does hold a space for people who don't want to be a traditional OT, and they can go on our website for free and sign up to be an OT and receive home modification requests from people and start their own side business.
Got it. How about you, Emily? How is your role different or the same from Carly's?
So because it is a healthcare platform and a health tech startup, we do have a lot of overlap. I am part of the growth team, and thankfully we get to work together, which I love. But similar to what Carly said, our role roles are non-traditional OT right now, but our platform does employ OTs who are looking to maybe do something a little different, a little niche, want to step outside of that traditional role.
All right. So how does this role differ from a typical, I guess what would be most OTs are more familiar with, sort of like home care, right? How would this be any different from doing home care, for example?
So I would say it's different from home care because there's more of a collaborative nature to it. You get to be your own boss. Technically, you sign up for the platform for free and then you receive home modification requests. But that being said, you do work alongside a contractor. Your assessment is, taken very seriously by the whole team who really takes the advice recommended for that home modification and puts that plan in place. You get to really expand upon your skill set, I think, not only as an OT, but just working in the collaborative nature of a healthcare platform. And kind of what I touched on earlier, like how OT oftentimes gets stuck in a box and in like mm-hmm. everyday rut. It really allows you to be creative and to come up with your own way of practicing.
Got it. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Carly?
Yeah, I think it's very different than home care because you're not actually providing home care to the patient. On our platform, you're doing the assessment of their house, and that's solely your role through Rosarium Health. You're not going back in to, do exercises with them and continue to provide in-home care. It's the assessment before the contractor comes in, working with the contractor, and then the assessment afterwards to make sure that the home is now more accessible for this client.
Got it. So it sounds to me like the population that you serve is obviously the people who are in their homes, right? Or the folks who need home modifications. But it also sounds to me like you really work with therapists.
Well, so we employ them. We employ occupational therapists. We work with them in the sense that we get them on our website. We make sure that the requests that we're receiving for home modifications are, valid and that they're, happy being a Rosarium Health, not employee, but occupational therapist on our website. But we don't directly work with them about the work that they're doing unless we need to intervene and feel that there was something missed in the assessment. But no, that's not really our primary role.
Got it. So you basically have a sort of like a resource bank or some kind of directory of occupational therapists throughout the world who are providing home modification services.
Exactly. And, OTs that are on our website will get, like if they're in Texas, they'll get a notification, somebody in Texas with the information, what they need, needs a home modification. Can you do this assessment? And they'll say yes or no. And they'll get connected to the people who need the assessment.
What sets Rosarium Health apart from other organizations who kind of do something typical? I guess I'm like looking more, my mind is going more towards insurance companies, for example, right? Who might have a variety of providers within their plan and providers will then be connected with patients. So I'm hearing a similar kind of flow, but obviously this is not the same because these are OTs finding OTs for people out there.
So you're right in the sense that we're similar to insurance companies where they have a bank of OTs to do the work if home modifications is covered as a benefit for the insurance company. Is a larger, goal to partner with an insurance company because we do have such a big bank of OTs and contractors. We have the full service and we're willing to manage that service, right? And I think that there's a big gap in healthcare for insurance companies where they do have, $7,000 allotted for home modification per member, but the members don't know about it or the contractors on their list are outdated. So we're more an up-to-date hub to connect people. Yeah, so we have OTs and contractors, the full service, because we do believe as OTs ourselves, an assessment is necessary. And especially for an insurance company, that is usually necessary. Is like, you need the assessment done to prove that this modification needs to happen, and then it can get covered, and then the OT has to come back.
Got
Good question.
it. Was there any particular reason or any specific inspiration that drew you to this type of work?
That's a great question. I really feel like I am attracted to doing work that I see has a big gap. And home modification, aging in place in general, I feel like has a big gap because some people might not realize that they need it until they really need it. And then it's very difficult to access. I love how our platform is like a one-stop shop for individuals who are looking to receive a home modification. They don't have to put in all of the work to finding the therapist, finding the contractor, finding members of a team to do that safety assessment, to do the modification. It's all there for you. And I really feel like when people are at a critical point in their life where they might need these changes done to their home, it makes it so accessible and so easy for them.
Got it. And it sounds like you're making that process, really accessible. And I want to hear a little bit more about sort of like a typical day, right? Or where, if I were a patient needing this type of service, where do I begin? And sort of how do we get connected with you? But before we get into all of that, I'd love to just maybe, share with our listeners, your path. Can you describe to us a little bit about how you got there? So here you both were in OT school, then did some traditional stuff along the way and sort of veered, and now here you are. So what can you share with us, about that whole journey?
Yeah, I think I'll start because Emily and I's path kind of overlaps, and she'll get to that. But I was in OT school and really interested in mental health. I started to meditate a lot and got really into mindfulness and was using apps to do that. And I felt, wow, I've learned a lot about people and the whole client-centered approach. And I really feel that I'd have a lot to add in terms of value to like a mental health app as an OT. How to get people really engaged to use the app, right? Because we've in OT learn about, behavioral stages of change, right? And I think, apps can implement that to try and meet people where they're at. So I got into that and I wanted to work for a mental health app. So I started writing content like a 7-day sleep challenge, 7-day mindfulness challenge for apps. And while I was in grad school and was really talking to people anywhere that I met out in New York City, what do you do? Even if it wasn't an OT, and just trying to learn what is out there and how could I contribute as an OT. And I went into early intervention as an OT, but ran into our CEO who I went to college with, who told me about Rosarium Health that he was starting. And I said, well, this sounds really interesting and I'd love to be a part of it in any way that I can, and just kind of threw myself into it, and landed, and knew that I wanted to work for an app and knew that I wanted to have a say on some sort of technology that would help people. So that's how I got involved. And then Emily can tell you kind of how her journey and how we overlapped.
So, just as Carly alluded to, we have a little bit of a different journey. I went to OT school, and then following that, worked for a large hospital system. And, day in and day out, I really loved what I was learning. I feel very grateful for the experiences that I had, but I kind of got to a point where I just felt a little stuck. I felt like what I was practicing was not was what I was really expecting and dreaming of for like my life moving forward. And I kind of got to a point where I just said, you know what? It's time to start doing some outreach, doing some networking, and figuring out what my path should be, because it's not that I was against being an OT. I just felt a little stuck. Like I wanted a little bit more for my role. I wanted a little bit more for myself, and I wanted to see what else I could do beyond that while still using my skill set. So I just networked. I networked a ton. I reached out to people on Facebook. I joined different groups on LinkedIn. And that's actually how I met Carly. I ended up joining a LinkedIn group for clinicians who are interested in transitioning to non-traditional roles and messaged her. And I'm very thankful I did because she introduced me to our CEO. She introduced me to her role and thankfully gave me a chance to contribute in a very unique way to the company.
Oh, I love that story and
I think
connection.
it's something just to hone in on for the listeners is if you are thinking of transitioning out or want to begin, just network. Like networking is the biggest thing you can do. Don't be afraid to message someone on LinkedIn and say, "Hey, your role looks interesting," or "Can we chat?" It's people are more willing to speak than you think, and sometimes you meet the right person who leads you in the right direction.
I absolutely agree. That's something that comes up time and time again on the podcast. And my guests always referring to the idea of just reaching out, going out there, asking questions, connecting with the right people, and really taking the time to do that has offered a lot of value.
I think the one thing that I want to add, which is interesting now that we're talking about it, is like as an OT, if I was working with somebody, a client who wanted to find a different job, right? And maybe was not, maybe graduated from being at a shelter and was working at a place and wanted a different job, but didn't know how to go about it, I would give them the same exact advice that I give myself, which is so I kind of think that. Emily and I did OT on ourselves, where it's like, where do you begin? What advice would you give somebody who wants to switch their career as an OT? How would you help them? And, OT ourselves, did OT ourselves to get to this position. Yeah.
Well, I love that, and I love that you connected. Congratulations. I think, these connections are really important. You boost each other. You sort of motivate one another, and when you sort of have that shared excitement, I think it just takes your ideas to another level. So this might be a great opportunity or time for us to talk about a typical day, right? So, you talked about it's a platform, so it's a website. So how do we get connected? How do folks find you, and how do you find folks?
So if you can expand on that a little bit. So we could talk about like a typical day as us at Rosarium Health, and then we can talk about a typical day as like an OT who's like on the Rosarium Health website. So which
Why
one?
don't we do both?
Okay.
Because your role is the first, right? And then the latter would be the other OTs that you actually employ. So yeah, I think it might be nice to to
Both.
have a sort of like a clear distinction between those two, the two avenues.
Great. So my typical day is, so it's a startup. So anyone who wants to get into startup, you have to know that you wear multiple hats and you have a lot of say and you meet a lot of different people and it's an amazing experience. But your role is not clear in the sense that you're just doing one thing. You're doing multiple things, which I love. So for me, my day could look like waking up and networking with people in Phoenix or Houston, nonprofit organizations that help, seniors in Houston get home modifications and reaching out to them and say, "Hey, how's it been going? We have this platform. We have contractors and OTs that can do the work. We'd love to help your clients get home modifications," and really forming that connection. And sometimes it's flying to those places and meeting with them. Other times my day involves of calling OTs and contractors and telling them about our website and say, "Would you like to join? We have big partnerships coming up and we need more OTs and contractors." Sometimes the last part I'll add for me is figuring out logistically how is it going to work when a big organization refers a client and says, "We do have a client. How do we refer them to you?" And building out those forms on our website so that we can have like a step-by-step process for how we receive an influx of patients who need home modifications to prepare us to have bigger and bigger partnerships.
And all this you do remotely? Love
Unless
it.
we're traveling to
Yes.
go have meetings with these partners or going to conferences where we feel we can network.
How about you, Emily? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, so similar to what Carly said, you do wear a lot of hats. In the startup world, which I also love, it's really fun to kind of step into a unique role, do that work, and feel like you're contributing in a very unique way. And wearing many hats just feels like a challenge. It is a challenge. Every day in and of itself is a challenge, but it's one where you feel like you see a lot of results as well. I would say in a typical day, there's a lot of networking, a lot of outreach, and a lot of education. A lot of the people who we speak to, they may not be so familiar with online platforms. They may not know how to access online platforms. And if they do, they may have never done it for home modifications. So it's really educating them not only on what our platform is about, but what they need to do to be able to access our services, how they would go about helping a client of their own, how they would go about helping themselves if they were interested. So there's multiple forms of education that you need to provide, whether that's a phone call, an email, a follow-up in person. But that's an aspect that I really do enjoy of our job.
Thank you for sharing that. Both of you talked about wearing, a variety of hats. Are there any specific OT skills that sort of stick out for you that you really feel comes into play in these roles?
So I love that question, especially because it's super hard to answer. And I think when I was thinking about that question before, something like really non-traditional as an answer that I can come up with is when you're partnering with large organizations, it's really helpful as an OT to understand this person that you're talking to at the organization is getting paid for a certain job that they're doing. They have a lot on their plate. They have a life at home. We're coming in and trying, and we have this vision of please use our platform, please use our platform, but they're inundated probably with work on their setting. And it's, you really have to take in that like client-centered approach to not only form like a partnership with them, hey, we want you to use Rosarium Health, but how can we make this easy for you so that it's not so stressful, so that it's easy to refer a client to us? And I love to really keep in mind the person that I'm talking with, like their stress levels at work. And I love to like set expectations, which I learned in OT school of like, how would you like to be contacted? How would you like to be reached? What do I do if I don't reach you? And kind of setting boundaries in relationships. I've done a lot in early intervention with families. How would you like to be contacted? What happens if you feel that session wasn't helpful for the kid? The same type of open communication I feel is really important when forming partnerships like we do for such a big company.
Wow, such great examples. Thank you for that.
Maybe Emily uses different skills.
No, I think those are some really valuable points, Carly. I was just going to add, I've had the opportunity to do some digital marketing for our platform. And in doing so, similar to what Carly's been saying, as an OT by background, I feel like it's really allowed me to step outside of, what my mindset is and really put myself in someone else's shoes to try and gain an understanding of what they'd like to see when seeing a platform and being attracted to it. So trying to really understand individual perspectives, whether that's per that person is young, middle-aged, old, whether they've had an illness or injury, whether they're busy, and really trying to gain that understanding of what would our users want to see? What will really catch someone's eye? What will motivate someone to go online and sign up for our platform, and what will separate us from other platforms and other home modification services to show that we really do have a very unique way of going about our service.
I mean, spoken like true OTs, looking at the big giant picture, right? And the full picture, and really seeing, what might be getting in the way and what can you alter, right? Or modify so that it flows a little bit better. So,
Also,
go
I
ahead.
think it's important to add, we have a lot of say as a startup about what our website looks like. So like accessibility, right?
Yes, usability too.
Usability, accessibility. Yeah, like can somebody who's 70 navigate our website? Should we have bigger buttons? Should
Yes.
we, how clear can it be? So that's
Is it
been,
too busy?
yeah, that's been a really interest. We've Emily and I have had such interesting say on that because of our experience. Hey, somebody who just had a stroke may not be able to use this website or that, even though they need a home modification. So we've that just came to me, but I think that's really important to add.
Yeah, and of course that makes you super well suited for this role, right? A new role. So we didn't get into that before this part of the conversation, but did these roles exist before you, Carly, or it's a startup, so it's a pretty new role?
So clinical partnerships has existed in healthcare companies before. Yes. So yes, it's not a new role.
But for Rosarium.
We started with Rosarium, the role. I am the first director of clinical partnerships there. Yes.
Okay,
But
got it. And I guess what I was really trying to, ask was that, was this a role designed for an OT, or was this a role that, already existed and was maybe, occupied by someone else or a
yeah.
different,
It was not designed for an OT. I weaseled my way in there. No, I had a lot of value to add for a company that is working with people with trying to get OTs on their platform, but I also don't want to deter listeners and make them think that if they want to transition out of OT to work for a healthcare tech company, it has to be just with a company that works with OTs. You can do
Yes.
education and learning there. You can do, EMR systems. So I just want to make that clear before I go on. But no, it wasn't designed for an OT, but I think our team and CEO values the input that OTs have because of our awareness of accessibility and aging in place, and feels that we are super valuable in creating partnerships with large organizations that are trying to tackle this problem.
Yes. I personally feel that you're just more effective in what you're trying to do here, right? So you're the ones who are employing the OTs who are providing the services that are, missing, right? Or the gaps in the services out there. So what better eyes or lens than to have another OT doing that, right? To identify the need.
I just want to clear up too. It's yes, Rosarium Health employs those OTs, and OTs can go to our website today, sign up for free, and receive leads for home modifications. But what Emily and I are doing, yes, we have a say in what that experience looks like for the OTs, but our role is really shifted out of that and more towards how can we go out into a new state and introduce this to the proper hospitals so that their patients can use it.
Thank you. Anything you want to add, Emily?
Yeah, so similar to what Carly was saying, our roles have shifted. We are not currently practicing OTs, but we do employ OTs on our platform. And I feel like we are very lucky because our CEO and the rest of our colleagues really value our input, given our clinical backgrounds and given the skill set that we can provide. Based on what we learned in school and what we learned out in the world as practicing clinicians.
Amazing. That's the best when you get the buy-in, right? Your employer's buy-in, and they
Yeah.
really understand your value and what you can bring to the table. Just makes for a great formula.
Yes.
Yes.
So maybe that's another great segue to our next question. Any recent challenges or successes that you'd like to mention in your current roles?
Yeah, I think the successes are a little hard to highlight because these are larger organizations, and I'm not sure how much we're able to share until it's posted, So successes at scale, I mean, successes would look like, without saying names, being able to partner with a big organization that can refer a high volume of clients to us. Challenges are when you think you find the right partnership, but they just don't have the bandwidth to refer clients to you. Or they don't have the resources, or they have a long wait list to get home modifications, but they still can't refer clients to you. Just feeling like you're so connected with a partner that you're trying to, have this partnership with, but that it's still not resulting in what you want. And I think the challenge is being patient. and realizing that the partnership doesn't ultimately result in the expected outcome overnight. Have to be extremely patient with these partnerships and keep trying. I think that has been a big, just been a big challenge for me personally, is that, hey, this doesn't happen overnight and it takes a lot of time. And sometimes there are roadblocks or bottlenecks that you just can't really get over, and it's the right partnership but not at the right time. And that can really be a blow, to your hope, right? Of like,
Yeah.
this is an amazing partnership. This is going to work out. It's going to be so grateful for Rosarium Health. And then it's just not going to work out right now. So managing my emotions has been a challenge in this.
Okay.
Yeah. Of
Thanks for sharing that, Carly.
course.
Yeah, I just to add, I like to call it patient persistence because you want to maintain that patience, but you also want to be persistent, and it's a very fine balance that I continually work on. I think most people need to work on that. You may not get your yes that day or tomorrow or the next week, but it doesn't mean you're never going to get that yes. And all of the work that you put into it is worth it. A lot of the no's do become yeses, and a lot of the maybes become yeses. And I think it's a really important skill set for all people to learn how to be persistent and patient with others, understanding that, they may not be on board right away, and that's okay. You're still putting in the work and the time and educating, and it will pay off. It will eventually pay off.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of OT in there too. And as you're seeing that, just kind of really knowing when folks are ready, right? Or helping folks be ready for what you have to offer, right? And recognizing where folks are at and where they need you to be.
Yeah, completely. It's a role in which you need to be very aware of what's happening in another organization and what's happening with that person and what their role entails there, and walk that fine line between being persistent, like Emily said, and being patient. You can't force anything. You have to,
Yeah.
it's you have to have a lot of patience, which you have in OT as well,
Yes. So again, makes you even more well suited for the role because of
Right.
that lens, right? And I think I'm gonna steal your word choices. I like them better. You said patient persistence. Is that how
Yes.
you? Yes. Love it. I used to call it therapeutic stalking. That would be a different,
I
my version
love
of it. In some of the settings where I've worked, where you kind of just, make sure that you're always following up, but of course in a
that.
therapeutic way.
I love that.
So thank you so much for sharing with us, a lot of these like really important pieces that we wouldn't even come to mind. Can you share with us now a little bit about money matters? Anything that you feel comfortable or want to share about salaries, compensations, how do services get paid? Do folks have to, I don't know, when signing up for your platform, is there a cost? Anything of that sort. You can
Yeah.
start whatever you want.
So for anyone today who's listening that wants to inquire about being an OT on Rosarium Health, you can sign up for free. I'm sure at the end you'll have our contact information. You can reach out to us if you want to be an OT on our platform for free, and you will get clients who need home assessments. In terms of compensation, you as the OT will make your own compensation. That's up to you. Right, you are an independent contractor for Rosarium Health, so that's great. You get to create, what you feel is, valuable, for doing a home assessment. For us, or for me, working on the tech side of things, compensation is more of a upward trajectory than I felt OT was, which was really important to me, and I did feel. Not to, knock on any OT that's listening or hit home to some hard points, but I did feel that there was a cap on the salary as an OT, and that you could only really get so far without starting your own company. So I really found that working in tech, there's always a way up. There's always a way up, and salary doesn't exactly stop. And that you can always be reaped and rewarded in different ways, bonuses, with what you do. So that was really, really attractive to me.
That's exciting.
Yeah, similar to what Carly said, that was a large factor in my initial curiosity of stepping outside of a traditional OT role. I did feel limited and like there was a cap as an occupational therapist in terms of salary. And while being in the tech world, you notice how sky's the limit. Like you really can work your way up, which is incredible. But I also do want to emphasize that employing occupational therapists on our platform, part of it is to allow for the space and opportunity to create those salary ranges and to develop a very niche skill set that you can hopefully use, whether it's expanding upon your skills within the home modification world and growing your profession in that, or working within that field and then using those new skills to expand beyond OT, which is what Carly and I have now done. So
Yes.
we really want to make sure to highlight that for your listeners that, we do feel we really want you to grow as a therapist. And we feel for you because we are therapists by background. And we want you to know that our company is all about helping you grow and learn within the profession and expanding beyond the limits that it's been held within for so long.
Yeah, I also think that at such an early stage for a startup, our company is very open-minded that if you're an OT on our platform and you have feedback for us, reach out and you may have another job. You may be employed with us. Like we're very open to feedback. And I think our CEO and team is very open to the idea that OTs have a lot to offer. So becoming an OT on our website could lead to another non-traditional job, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, and I just love that you're creating space, a platform, an opportunity for folks to be able to start something on their own, right? Something that, again, is not so easy for folks to do. So just really giving them the support already is already helpful.
Yes.
Amazing. So thank you for sharing some of that. To anything else about Money Matters that you want to add before we move on to our next question?
I think that for anybody who's listening that feels that a little discouraged about their salary and where they can go is try and find creative ways. Like you can contact us after this, but try and find creative ways that you can do work on the side, whether that's freelancing or writing for. There are tons of apps and websites that need people to write about mental health related stuff or physical disabilities. And there are ways to use your OT knowledge to increase your salary. If you're somebody who maybe isn't in position to change jobs, maybe you have really good insurance. Like there's also that real aspect to that. So I want people to feel hopeful on the other end that there's other ways to increase your salary with side jobs that could work for you.
Yeah, and this is one of those avenues.
This is one of those avenues, and there's more if you can't exactly join Rosarium Health. So I want people to feel
Yes.
hopeful is really what I'm trying to get at.
And as far as both of your roles are concerned, you're both employed by Rosarium Health full time?
It's
Or are
part.
you 1099 consultants for Rosarium Health?
1099 right now.
Okay, got it. So, yeah, and it's great to, again, one of my favorite things about being an OT is our flexibility, being able to work part-time here, work with this population for a couple of days a week, and, work in an entirely different setting, or an entirely different capacity than, at the end of the week. And I just think there are very few professions that allow for that kind of flexibility and freedom. So I absolutely love it. And thanks for giving us examples of how that, manifests itself in your role. I know we already talked a little bit about advice, but any other career advice that you might have for anyone who's interested in branching out into health technology?
Advice. Oh boy. I could talk on this for days, but I won't. I would say hone into your curiosity and don't be afraid to be shut down. I think a lot of the reason why a lot of OTs and just people within the medical field and other professions in general don't step outside of their comfort zone is for fear of rejection. It's a real fear. I think everyone has a fear of rejection, but that's okay. Being rejected is okay. I think it's a huge learning process. I think it's really important to take that on the side and really just go for it and understand that you may experience rejections along the way, but allow yourself to grow beyond that and to learn and try and expand your skill set in any way that you can.
Great. Thank you so much for that advice.
Yeah, so there's two companies that we've been working with in the greater Phoenix area and the greater Houston area. One is called Purposefully Home in greater Phoenix area, and the other one is called Live Well Mobility in Houston. Both incredible companies, both on our platform, and I just wanted to give a shout out to the people that work for them for giving us a chance.
Oh, thank you for that. We'll definitely list them on our show notes. So, we'll have links and such so folks can look into these places on their own.
That sounds great.
I think that, something that I would want to add in terms of advice for anyone is really taking the time to ask anyone what they do. If you're thinking about leaving your career, like if you're thinking about switching careers, take the time to investigate what type of job you might want to do. Ask people what they do, what a day for them looks like. Ask if you could work for free if you have that, ability. Put yourself out there to show your worth, because unfortunately that's like how it works when you're trying to, switch careers sometimes and don't exactly have the same degree that everyone else at the company is employed has, right? We're OTs, we're not, people who majored in communication or marketing. But don't be afraid to show your skill set, and send an email to a CEO or to somebody who works at the company and say, I have a lot to add. I have a lot of value. Here's a PowerPoint that I made on some ideas. Those were definitely things that I did in the beginning and actually got to speak to some CEOs of companies that I wanted to work for. And I really, you just have to be fearless in reaching out.
Yes, and I know that about you. In the time
Right.
that we've known each other, you're a go-getter, and I think that's also important. It's an important reminder for, our listeners who are really, if you're so interested in moving into a non-traditional path, you have to go get it, right? You need
Yeah,
to
don't be
reach out.
discouraged. Yeah, don't be discouraged if you don't get it on the first or 18th try. You will get it. You just have to continue. And I think, like I said, be the OT to yourself. Like if you were talking to a client, you wouldn't tell them to give up after the 15th. No, you would tell them to keep going, and you would help have to help them find another creative way to get to where they wanted, or adjust if they didn't get where they wanted. And you have to do that to yourself.
Can you think of any common myths or misconceptions about your current role?
I'm still learning because it's such a new role. I think like a common misconception about my role is that I don't use OT skills anymore, right? I'm with this tech company. I'm clinical partnerships. I don't
You're
use
not an
OT.
OT anymore,
Yeah,
yeah.
but I will always be an OT. Like that's I will always think like an OT, which is what first attracted me to OT school in the first place, but it doesn't mean that I will do traditional OT work. So I think when you do look at jobs, I think the bigger thing to think about is when you're looking at a role at a company that you find interesting, you may have a common misconception, like I'm not, or belief that I'm not fit for this role. This says that you need to have a marketing degree and you need to have 3 years of experience, and I don't have any of that. That's a misconception. Like, shoot your shot, write the cover letter about why you fit that role. So I think I just wanted to push that back on the listeners of misconceptions about when you're looking for jobs and feeling I'm not a good fit for this.
Oh, Carly, that's such great advice. Thank you so much. If our listeners wanted to get in touch, find out a little bit more about Rosarium Health or your current role, is it okay if they get in touch with you?
Yes, totally. I email, text, everything is good. I usually respond faster to text, but you can send me an email. I'm happy to talk to anyone and everyone, help people sign up on the platform for free, talk to people about transitioning out of OT, try and connect people with my network of people who aren't traditional OTs, and just kind of here to help people think through the process of transitioning and what that looks like. I'm happy to do that.
Well, we appreciate you so much for that and for taking the time to talk about your really cool new role in
Yeah.
health technology. I'm so super proud of you, and I cannot wait to hang out. Carly and I are now Los Angeles residents,
I
so
know, who would have known? You know, Trisha was my fieldwork supervisor. So who would have known where this leads? And that just goes to show, you never know where something is going to lead, you know, and
yes.
wherever you are in life right now as an OT, do your best because you don't know which colleague you're going to start a company with in the future or be on their podcast or, you know, go to a different company with them. So it's really interesting how life works.
Oh, well, I love that we've stayed in touch, and I know birds of a feather, you know? So I
Exactly.
think great minds kind of just energies come together, and this was meant to be. So again, I'm super proud of you, the OT that you've become, the non-traditional OT that you've become, and I'm excited to to hear more about where this role takes you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about this and educate other people who may want to transition out of an OT role. I think it's really important. And yeah, I really appreciate it. We appreciate having the platform. And I just want to reiterate, anyone can reach out. We're happy to help.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.